Jeremiah chapter 28 will be taking our text from tonight. We're going to look at all these verses. There are only 17. This will be part number 30 of our journey through Jeremiah Bible study. Tonight, the focus is going to be upon one particular person, and it's the false prophet Hananiah. This is a very interesting study tonight. We're going to find some things and how a false prophet operates and what the Lord does about false prophets and how a false prophet can actually come in and cause problems even for the man of God, even for someone that's looking for someone like this. And we're going to see that all in this text tonight in these 17 verses. And so we're picking up where we left off in chapter 28 with a continuation of what we studied last week in chapter 27. If you remember, in 27 we read about Jeremiah and the prophecy of those yokes. The Lord had told him to make these yokes and to put on his neck and then send the messages to the kings. There's five different kings on the that surrounded Palestine there around Judah. That these kings, these messengers were to take back to the king the message the Lord gave them, that they were going to be in bondage to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And for them not to fight against that. And if they did fight against it, that the Lord himself would work against them and cause them to die by sword, famine, and pestilence. And he would use Nebuchadnezzar to do that. And so the thing for them to do is to listen to the word of the Lord and obey him and make obeisance to Nebuchadnezzar. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most cruelest men ever on the face of this earth. But the Lord used him for his purpose. He said that that they were to obey Nebuchadnezzar and he would be the reigning king. Now, of course, this did not set well with any of those men. No one in Judah wanted to hear this prophecy, including the man that we're going to talk about tonight, Hananiah. Look at verse 1 of our text there in Jeremiah chapter 28. It says, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord in the presence of the priest and all the people, saying..." Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of your word tonight. I'm asking you now, Lord, to help me for just a few minutes to be able to expound on these verses tonight. And Lord, I'm praying that you're glorified. God, lead us in this Bible study tonight. Lord, may we do a mighty work through your word and through your power. These things I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the time period, just as the Bible indicates right there, is the same year. It says it came to pass the same year. This is just picking up. You could just continue chapters 28 and 27, put them together. You know, the folks that broke up the Bible into chapters and verses and divisions and things, that wasn't the way it was originally written. It was all in long scrolls. And so this was a chapter division that they had placed in there because it starts a new thought, but it continues on with the same thing. And so it says in the same year that all these other things happened that we just studied about, is the same time period. And it's when Jeremiah revealed the prophecy to Zedekiah. Now remember, he received it earlier before he actually revealed the prophecy to Zedekiah. And it was during the beginning of Zedekiah's reign. If you remember, Jeremiah had warned Zedekiah not to listen to false prophets. That was the whole theme of the message, not to listen to false prophets, over and over and over again. And so I want to get that fresh in our minds. If you want to turn back there to chapter 27, let's look at verses 12 through 15. And let's get that fresh in our minds of why this is important to understand. Jeremiah 27 and 12. The Bible says, "I spake also to Zedekiah." This is Jeremiah speaking. "King of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live. Why will you die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you." Here it is. This is important. "That speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. For they prophesy a lie unto you. For I have not sent them, saith the Lord. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that you might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you." Now, remember that. That's going to be instrumental in what goes on here tonight when we see this man Hananiah as he comes and starts preaching a different message that Jeremiah's been preaching. And it's just it's 180 degrees different here. Now, we're going to see in these next verses that Jeremiah's warning is going to come true. And it's going to play through this man Hananiah. It says that Hananiah was the son of Azur, the prophet. Being a prophet often ran in the family. But where they're from there in that place, Gibeon was where the priests were. And so these men might have been priests as well. Not the high priest, but priests and prophets. Now, he comes specifically to confront Jeremiah, and he does it, it says, in the presence of the priest and all the people. That's why I believe that he is also a priest. But he chooses the perfect time to do it. He wants to make sure the most people hear his message. And his goal is to make Jeremiah's message look wrong and to place himself up on a pedestal as being God's prophet. And he has a new prophecy from God, not what Jeremiah is saying, but the exact opposite. And so he does it with this audience, and it's a specific audience. It's the ones, the movers and the shakers in Judah, the priests and the other folks that are there, and all the people. Look at verse 2. It says, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon." So immediately this man, Hananiah, he claims to be speaking for the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. That is the God that they worship. This is the God that led them out of Egypt's bondage. This is the God that they know to be the God of heaven. And he's saying that he's the one that spoke to me and told me to tell you these things. And so right away he's claiming to be the messenger of God. Now that's going to be that's going to cause him many problems because he's claimed to be speaking for God. He claims that the Lord told him that he had broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Well, that's strange because Jeremiah just told him that the Lord told him that they were to put the yoke on them of Nebuchadnezzar and not to break it. Well, he's saying that the Lord says he's broke that yoke of the king of Babylon. And so, in other words, these people are no longer under his rule. They're not going to be under his rule and because the Lord broke that yoke off of his neck. And so suddenly the Lord's changed his mind all of a sudden after what Jeremiah told him. I don't think so, but that's what he claims. Look at verse 3. It says, "Within 2 full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon." Wow, so Hananiah here, he's awfully bold. He claims that within the next 2 years, now he's put a number on it now, in the next 2 years, God is going to restore all these things that Nebuchadnezzar had pulled out of Judah. Remember all the list of things that he talked about before? He took out of the temple, took out of the city, all their riches and their all the things that they loved so dearly. Well, they carried them off into Babylon. Well, here Hananiah is saying, you know what? Within 2 years, they're bringing all that stuff back. God told me this. He says bringing all the stuff back. They're going to restore all the elements of the temple they took out of there, the gold and the silver and all the things of the city, and going to restore everything. In 2 years, this is very convenient that he's gave them a 2 year leeway time here. This is a 2 year period in which if he's going to be found out a liar, it's not going to happen for 2 years. And so he thinks he's got a nice little buffer right here. Within 2 years, this man could have packed up and left, you know, been gone. And that's what a lot of people do. A lot of people will come out and claim that something's going to happen. Well, and then in the meantime, they're making plans to go elsewhere, and they're nowhere to be found when this doesn't come about. And so this man right here, I don't know what he was thinking. He has to know that there's going to be repercussions for actually standing up and lying and saying that God told me to say this. But whether he knows that or not, I don't know. But he is actually given this false prophet prophecy here that God said he's going to make Nebuchadnezzar bring all the stuff back that he took out of here, and he's going to do it within 2 years. How convenient. Verse 4, "And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon." He's even going further. And by the way, you remember when he come and took the king off the throne that hadn't been there, but what was it, 6 months? You remember when they took him and his family and his mother and all his servants, and then they took all those people and they took them over into Babylon? You know what? They're bringing all them back. They're bringing back Jeconiah. And he's going to let him come back and all that. Boy, it's just wonderful. Now, you can only imagine being from Judah and hearing this message and somebody claiming this is what God said now. Well, they're eating this up. They're loving this. They've been listening to false prophets all the time and hating what Jeremiah said. And so when they hear this message, boy, this is going to make everybody happy. Except for two people, and that's going to be Jeremiah and the Lord. Look at verse 5. Then the prophet, oh, by the way, don't forget that the Lord said that they were going to be in captivity for 70 years. He's already said that. This guy's saying, no, in 2 years they're all coming back. Verse 4, and I will bring again, verse 5. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priest, and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Well, at this point, the Lord has not revealed to Jeremiah that this Hananiah is a false prophet. He doesn't know this yet. Now, you've got to realize the mind of Jeremiah. If you remember all of our studies, he has been crying. He's been in mourning. He's been weeping over all these things that's happening to his people and to his land. And he's been begging God and praying to God, God, please, don't let this happen. God, is there any other way? God, can we do something? Lord, will you have mercy? And over and over and over, and God's been telling him to quit praying for the people. And so Jeremiah is looking for some kind of hope here. And he sees it in this man's come in, and he's saying all these things. He said, yes, the Lord told me this. In 2 years, he's going to restore everything and bring back. And Jeremiah says, Amen. Let it be so. If the Lord's told you that, I'm all for it. And so it was only human for Jeremiah to want to believe this prophecy. I mean, we would want to believe that. If somebody came in here, an enemy come and invaded our land and took away our family members and put them over in some foreign land and we didn't ever hear from them again, we assume they're going to die or be gone 70 years, and suddenly somebody comes and says, guess what? Good news! Good news! No longer going to be in captivity. They're bringing all those folks back. Oh, and it's going to happen within 2 years. We'd be counting down the days. We'd be getting ready. We'd be, you know, talking about it and everything. Well, Jeremiah, he's excited right now. He's saying, Amen. So be it. Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied. But now look at this, verse 7. Jeremiah goes on to say, nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears. And in the ears of all the people, the prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms, of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. And so here Jeremiah, he states that the prophets of old didn't prophesy about peace. They prophesied about repentance. They prophesied about wrath and war and pestilence and famine. But the prophets, if Hananiah is a true prophet and he's really been sent by God, it will be known when these 2 years come to pass if what he said was true and if God has really sent him. Then we'll know. And so if this prophet's prophesying peace and safety and it actually comes about, we'll know he's a true prophet of God. Verse 10. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and break it. He is, right now, this guy, Hananiah, he's thinking, boy, I've got them all. Look at what I've accomplished, everything I've set out to do. Not only have I made Jeremiah look stupid, not only have I dispelled all the prophecy he's been saying, not only am I now the guy in charge and saying what God said, but I've even fooled the real prophet Jeremiah. And he goes and he takes the yoke that Jeremiah had built. And he was wearing it. He's been wearing it now. I don't know how long he's worn it. But when the Lord told him to make one and put it on his neck, he's left it there. And so this is a symbol that he is under God's control. He's being faithful to God and he's under this yoke. Well, this guy takes it off of him and breaks it. And he says, the Lord's broke this yoke. And he broke it. Boy, it's a bold move right there. Verse 11. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord. Here he goes again. He's claiming to be speaking for God. Even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Well, of course, this was great news to all the people in Judah. What a show this guy's put on. He's did exactly what he set out to do. He achieved everything he wanted to achieve. He received the attention of everybody, made Jeremiah look dumb, got the praise of men. Little did he know what big mistake he just made. Big mistake. Bad mistake. So he's claiming that the Lord is going to break the yoke off of all these other nations that the Lord said that they were under the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar. He's breaking that yoke and within 2 years. Now, verse 12, things are going to change and change fast. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Well, the Lord waited a little while before he told Jeremiah that this guy was all hot air. He tells Jeremiah, listen, go and tell this Hananiah character what I'm really saying. Because he's broke this wooden yoke off of your neck, what he's really done is placed an iron yoke now on the necks of all these people. He's just claimed that I have allowed to have their yokes broken off of them. Now they're really in trouble. And so the Lord tells Jeremiah to go tell Hananiah that it's even worse than what he thought. Instead of yokes of wood, going to place yokes of iron. No way of escaping here. No chance of them being accidentally broken. And it's going to be harsh judgment. Look at verse 14. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and have given him the beast of the. I have given him the beast of the field also. So the bondage is going to be worse than what they can imagine. Here, Hananiah has given them all this false hope. They're already celebrating. Most of those people are now at home. They're laughing it up. They're celebrating and waiting for their kinfolk to come home, their children, and all these people, and have everything restored, and it's all going to be back the way that it was. But now God's saying, no, listen, I put a yoke of iron on their neck. They're going to be under the subjection of Nebuchadnezzar, and I've even gave everything to him, even their animals. Get the beasts of the field. They're not even going to have any beasts of the field, no cows, no whatever it is they're raising there to they're thinking they're going to live on. No, I've gave it all to him. And so these people's got a lot worse than what they thought they were going to have. Verse 15 says, then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. Wow, what a terrible but fitting ending for this false prophet Hananiah. Wouldn't you love to have been there when Jeremiah came up to him and pronounced this? I could just see him. Boy, he probably got really weak in the knees right then. When he saw the man of God coming and gave him the real message. But he was probably celebrating at this point, probably basking in all of his glory here and his well-crafted deception, thinking he was going to be receiving Prophet of the Year award. You know, he'll now be the man of the year, prophet of the century. And then Jeremiah delivers the true word of God. Listen, there's no mistake in the true word of God. When the true word of God is pronounced, people are going to know it. They may try to deny it. They may try to run from it, hide from it. But there's no hiding or denying the true word of God, because it has power in it. God's word is powerful, and it's sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide, the Bible says. So God's word's been spoken, and now this man knows that his time has come. The Lord's going to take his life. He's going to take his life. And it shouldn't have come as a surprise to him if he knows anything about the law, if he knows anything about what God said. He told the Hebrews there when he gave them the law that a false prophet would die, that had to die. Listen to it. I'll read it to you. Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. The Lord gave a penalty for falsely prophesying in his name. There was bad repercussions for this. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign of the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he's spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way with which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. And so the Lord had told the people, listen, when a false prophet comes in among you and he starts prophesying these lies, don't you believe him, because if you believe him and you follow after and you do what he says, it's not going to be good for you. He says that man, that prophet, that dreamer of dreams, the one that's made up these stories, he's going to die. He shall surely die. He also went on to say there in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 20, but the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And so this man should not have been surprised to know when the true prophet of God comes and tells him, listen, God says you're going to die within a year because of what you've done. Shouldn't have surprised him at all. So Hananiah was taking a huge risk by purposely prophesying something that was not true. It wasn't given to him by God, yet he claimed it was to the God, the Lord God, Jehovah. And here in our King James Bible, that word Lord in all capital letters means Jehovah, God, Jehovah. And the Lord Jesus is the God of Jehovah is Jesus in the Old Testament. It says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. And so verse 17, our very last verse says, so Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. So within 3 months of delivering the fake news to Judah, Hananiah the prophet died. Friends, the Lord's not happy with rebellion. He's not happy with sin. No matter how you slice it, there's penalties and there's repercussions for sin. And so we need to always remember that. There's a lot of false prophets going on today. And I'm not going to be naming names again tonight. I do it all the time, and you know that. I'm not afraid to. If I know somebody's prophesying not the truth of the gospel, I'll call their name out. I think we ought to. But there's a lot of false prophets today, and they've got a lot of people's attention. They fooled a lot of people. A lot of people believe what they're saying. But there's going to be repercussions for being a false prophet. And if these men, unless they turn to God and they repent of their sins and trust him to save them, those men, if they've not been saved, they're all going to die and they're going to go to hell. But there's going to be repercussions for false prophets. And so we only can speak what God says in his word, not something we want to hear, not something we want to make up, not something we want to tickle people's ears with. Too much of that going on today. And I know it fills up churches. If that's what you're looking for, then there's a lot of them out there. But I tell you what, I want to know what God says. And I want somebody to stand and tell me what God says. I don't want some man to tell me a lie to make me feel good. If that's the case, friends, we're all doomed. And so we got to trust in the Lord and only the Lord. All right, well, let's come together for altar prayer tonight.